It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free. I was born free.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. I am Paul LaVoy. It is Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026, and we're broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. And it's a new name since you've been here, Carol Brown.
Yes, absolutely.
It's actually sponsored now, though, by City Maytag.
Well, I love it. I love it. Thanks.
911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And if Carol sounds familiar to our loyal Speak Out listeners, our audience of 17. We have 17 loyal listeners, and then after that, they just kind of listen willy-nilly. Carol E. Brown is the Senior Program Manager and Aging Policy and Advocacy for WACOG, Western Arizona Council of Governments.
Yes.
And are you head of the Area Agency on Aging? Okay.
Absolutely not.
Did I just curse you?
No, we have the deputy director at WACOG actually leads the Area Agency on Aging efforts and our Human Services Department.
Okay. It's always great to have you on the program, and I just want to, every senior that's listening to this program right now, just pay close attention. Take an hour out of your life, okay, and just listen to the show. There's so much information that Carol will impart on you today that, I mean, your head will probably explode. And you might want to get a pen and paper, too, and write some things down, because she's got a lot of information. She goes back and forth to the Capitol. You're based out of Yuma,
mm-hmm.
and you go, you've even been to Washington, D.C. on occasion to
yes.
advocate for legislation. But today we're going to talk about long-term care ombudsman program that is through WACOG. What is that with all the, you know,
I know,
ombudsman? What is that?
I know. It's a big long term, and just the term itself can just cause people to go, what?
Right.
So the long-term care ombudsman is individuals who have been specially trained to be advocates for the residents who live in state-licensed facilities. So they could be referred to as skilled nursing facilities or nursing homes, assisted living facilities, assisted living homes, memory care facilities. All of those, if they are state-licensed, there is an ombudsman that visits each one of those facilities to be there as an advocate for the residents and to represent them, to work out any issues that might arise, and to help protect their resident rights for those where they call that home. And many times, even the short-term folks that are there to rehab and will ultimately be discharged.
Is there a home or a type of home like memory care or long-term, short-term? Is there one that gets advocated more than the other?
No.
Like a need?
No, it's based on visiting each and every one of those facilities in the county where they reside. So for us, WACOG serves Yuma, La Paz, Mojave County. There are no facilities in La Paz, none. So that means we're actually covering at this time Mojave County and Yuma County. And we do have an ombudsman for Mojave County. We have a new ombudsman to be. She's going through training right now for Yuma County. Our previous ombudsman retired. So we have someone new taking over. But they would cover each, all the facilities in the county where they reside. If for some reason there needs to be backup, then they can also travel and assist in the other areas where we need to make sure that we are visiting the facilities.
So just we'll back up just a second. I want to tail end off that last answer. La Paz County has no. If you have an older parent and you need assisted living or even hospice.
Hospice can happen in La Paz County.
Different then?
It happens in the home.
I see.
So frequently. But it can also be in facilities. But yes, if they need hospice, they can get that in La Paz County.
But no outside care center for elder?
There are none that exist.
Whoa.
So that's where it's really tough on our folks in La Paz County, because if that decision has to be made and they do need additional care, then they're making a decision if they're going to the closest place, it's Havasu or it's Yuma.
Or bringing a caregiver into the home full
yes,
time.
Yes, it can be. You know, lots of times we have older adults, they're on their own. And so likely financially they cannot afford to do that.
So you gave me a, looks like a little bookmark here.
And yeah.
It's residents' rights for the Office of the Ombudsman.
Yes.
Let's go over these. What is the right to self-determination?
If you are living in a long-term care facility, you have the right to determine for yourself what your care will be, what you will accept, won't accept, and the conditions of the facility. So you, just as if you were living in your own home, I get to decide how I'm going to live my life. So it's,
even though somebody has said, we can't take care of you, you still have rights.
Absolutely.
Okay.
These are just basic human rights, really, is how I see it. You know, the right to be treated with dignity, respect, and consideration. Absolutely. That should be undeniable in any facility. Folks have the right to be free from the use of chemical or physical restraints. That isn't the solution if someone has a health condition that is causing a certain behavior to come out. It means the staff needs to understand that resident.
Instead of phenobarbital or Thorazine or something like that.
They need to understand. Right. They need to be educated, understanding what's happening with that individual so that their care is appropriate for Mr. Jones or Mrs. Smith. And it is absolutely not okay for the person to be restrained in order to try to control them or to provide typically less care.
That kind of crosses into criminal territory when it comes to elder abuse. I think we can talk about that a little bit later. We've talked about that with you before.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it gets really interesting. Our number, if you want to call and talk to Carol, 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. We take text questions now, too.
Oh, awesome.
928-727-5566. If you have a question for Carol Brown, again, Senior Program Manager for WACOG, Western Arizona Council of Governments. Yeah, these are pretty basic rights. You have a right to participate in planning for care and treatment.
Yes.
That's interesting.
A lot of folks don't know that care planning goes on a regular basis. That happens if you're in the hospital. It happens if you're going in for rehabilitation, maybe after surgery and injury. And it happens if you're a long-term resident. There is a care plan that is designed by the staff that are involved in that individual's ongoing care. And it should include family members and the resident, the patient themselves. They should be hearing what the plan is. And they should be able to add in their comments, concerns, you know, their questions, as well as their family members, or if there's a power of attorney, fiduciary, whoever it might be, guardian, they should all be included in that care plan.
How many of those folks that fall under this umbrella that have the residence rights or have, you know, been visited by the ombudsman, how many of them know they have these rights beforehand? Before talk to somebody.
Yeah, you know, I can't.
Is it common for somebody not to know? Let me ask it that way.
Well, I think there's confusion because of the title. So there will be posters posted in every state licensed facility. But I'm going to go way back in time because my mom was in a facility pre-2010. And when she first moved in there and it was going to be permanent, I'll say I spent a lot of time every day in the social worker's office because anything that wasn't right, I was in there talking to the social workers.
So you were well known.
To resolve it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I walked by a poster every single day in the hallway to go to my mom's room that said the ombudsman had a picture of the gentleman, a phone number to call, and I never did anything beyond that. I didn't stop to really read it. I just saw that big, bold picture and a title that I didn't understand.
Sure.
And so I do think that there is a great possibility that folks don't know who to reach out to, but that's why this program is so important and why it's great that it's housed within the Area Agencies on Aging statewide, because folks tend to call our Area Agency on Aging for lots of questions and concerns. And, of course, the subject of elder abuse, because we also have tried to promote out in our communities that if they need help, if they have a question, they can call us for that as well. So the ombudsman, I don't know if they're known as well as they should be, but that's part of why I wanted to actually talk about this particular program, because it's really important that folks know that they have an advocate that they can reach out to if they're the resident living there, or if they're connected to the resident, they can contact the ombudsman to ask questions, ask for help, to report something they feel is inappropriate. It doesn't matter what area of concern it is. The ombudsman is there to try and advocate on behalf of the resident and work things out with the administration in that building.
Let's say somebody does have a parent like you had in a facility, but they don't have power of attorney. Do they still have the right to advocate for that parent?
Sure. Absolutely. My mom was not cognitively impaired, so she could make her own decisions. So my power of attorney wasn't in effect, wasn't needed.
Right.
But you best believe I was the person that had the voice that could talk about, you know, and it was lots of times we have simple things. Sometimes it was a big thing. Remember, this is very long ago.
This is 15, 16 years ago.
Yes. So,
right.
You know, it could be as simple as, okay, you've lost some of mom's laundry again. I marked it the way you told me to mark it. Her name is on everything. Now she's missing this, this, and this. And, you know, they put in the notice to go find it. Mom didn't get her hair cut this month. The money's on the books. I know it is. So what's going on? Why didn't she get her hair cut and hairstyle that she wanted? You know, mom's supposed to be going to physical therapy 3 times a week. How come no one came and got her yesterday? She was due for her PT. And it was things like that because that was my job.
So my next question would be how many social workers did you go through?
At the time, you know, they only had one.
No, I mean, did they? You know, was it a rotating basis?
One social worker for the building.
You weren't that hard on them then.
No. If it was serious, then it was a serious tone that happened.
Right.
Like we need to resolve this right away. But these could all be. The simple things, that those items could be brought up to the ombudsman because they also have a resident council that exists in many facilities that the residents are a part of. And the ombudsman can attend those meetings and listen to the residents. And let's say it's a common situation where laundry's getting lost. Well, they can bring that up to the ombudsman, and the ombudsman can go to the administration in that facility and talk to them about it. Say, can we find a way to resolve this so that this isn't ongoing for your residents? And try to work on coming up with a plan so that it does really get resolved. Not that they just go find the missing items each time, that they actually find a way to not cause items to be missing.
Yeah, develop a system, right?
But, and it could be more serious. Again, the resident council can bring up those concerns during the meeting, and the ombudsman is there to represent them to the level that they want to be represented. They're an advocate, so they can only do what the resident gives permission to do.
And the resident, obviously, at that point was you were speaking for the resident, which leads to financial charges, the right to know about services and financial charges. That's the big one, because if the finances run out, a lot of times you have to move.
Yeah, it depends on the circumstances.
Right.
Many times they are on the state Medicaid called Arizona Long-Term Care. Many older adults are on that because they don't have the finances to pay for ongoing, permanent living in a facility.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you still have a right to know what is going on. You know, it's just like our when we're living at home and our Medicare billing. We get those explanation of benefit letters in the mail.
Don't say we.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well, not me either, but in general. And if we're being wise, we're looking at those explanation of benefits and we're seeing what's being charged and verifying, is it right? Is it true? Is this accurate? Well, it's the same thing in long-term care. You do have a right to know what the charges are, especially like assisted living is set up a little different. That's not the heavy medical level of care that's needed.
Okay.
You have a right to know, you know, what is the monthly fee? What else am I being charged for? What additions are there on my monthly costs?
Are there a lot of hidden fees when it comes to that?
I don't know that to be true.
You just don't know what they mean on the bill.
Well, you just need to know, and that comes into like the contract that you sign when you first move in.
Gotcha.
In an instance, my mom was in assisted living prior to having to go to a higher level of care. And one of the things that they offered was the a form of a med alert. It was an in-house system where you could wear the medallion around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also had some pull cords situated in the apartments so that if you fell or got something happened and you needed assistance, you could buzz or you could pull the cord to get help. And that was an additional fee, but that was disclosed up front. So we knew that was going to be an additional cost.
Right, right.
If there was any other additional costs that you could choose, like you wanted a landline phone or whatever it might be, you know, you have a right to know all of those fees that could be involved and mm-hmm. understand also the level of care they're going to provide.
Is this how you got to where you are today because partially of the experience with your mom?
Oh, I'd say yes. My mom actually was diagnosed with a terminal illness when
I was
15.
Oh, wow.
And so at that time, it was an unknown illness. There was limited methods of treatment. And so for about 35 years, we kind of went on that journey together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought I was being a daughter.
Now, you're being very noble, actually.
And I learned years later that actually I was her advocate. And I will say that that life with mom is what trained me and taught me about advocacy, about speaking up for somebody else when they can't speak up for themselves.
Right, right. Well, you're a big Eagles fan.
Yes, I am.
Those people that listen to the show a lot. I forgot. It's been so long since you've been here. You had Helen come in a couple of times from Kingman. And anyway, play a little bit of Eagles going to break. And if you want to talk to Carol Brown, she is the, again, the Senior Program Manager, Aging Policy and Advocacy for WACOG. And we're talking about long-term care ombudsman program. It just doesn't flow. There's something weird about that. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about something that's really current right now that's going through Congress with this legislation that we're waiting to get passed. But there's another shutdown, right? Like,
yes, a partial shutdown.
Didn't affect me. You weren't even furloughed on the last shutdown.
No.
But it's called the Older Americans Act, and there's funding in that legislation for the Older Americans Act. So
yes, correct.
Something you're waiting. I'm surprised you're not on the phone checking.
I'm trying to be polite,
Paul. When is the next vote, do you know?
No, I'd have to be checking and watching the stream.
All right. 928-854-5687 is the number to call, or 928-727-5566 if you'd like to text us. Speak out. We'll be right back. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us.
But you're not.
right, we're back on Speak Out. Talking music off the air, that's gonna take up some time and a few verses anyway, right, Carol?
Yeah.
You went and saw the Eagles at the Sphere in 2024?
Yeah.
That's amazing. And the only original Eagle not there at that time was Glenn Frey.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep.
That's my favorite Eagle.
Yeah, well, you know, to me, well, I'm going to probably stir up a lot of dust on this, but
uh-oh,
I have always said that Don Henley and Glenn Frey were the equivalent of Paul McCartney
Paul
and John,
John
Lennon.
You're
in
not
terms
far,
of in terms of writing and
you're not
producing.
Far off.
So
that's a really interesting observation. You're not far off
at all.
And plus, Glenn is the only one who could pull off being the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, right? On film in Jerry Maguire. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative by Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. TWN Fiber Internet. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning. Lonzi Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. Don't forget, we stream live in our show archives. Oh, they'll be up shortly after the show. Marissa June, not in the building at the moment, right? So, anyway, Marissa June left the building. Thank you. And so we stream live in our show archives, again, at KNTRTalk.com. And there's a little extra segment on there. You'll look under the tab where it says Speak Out. It says Speak Out Extra Uncut. And that's where I'll take an interview from kind of a high-profile guy like Scott Jennings, who does the Scott Jennings Show at night. And instead of the 3.5 minutes that you heard on the air, you'll hear a little over 6 minutes. So that's on our website as I speak. There you go. That's kind of neat about the internet. You know, you can leave that stuff up now. And it's, you know, it's there for however long you want to leave it up there until you take it down.
So, yeah. So I was just doing what you had asked. I'm checking and it looks like it's done.
It's a done deal?
Yeah. Looks like they've passed the vote to continue the funding for this fiscal year, which would end September 30. So the 5 of the 6 bills have been approved by the House, and it just needs to go to the president's desk to sign.
Oh, thank goodness.
Which includes our funding under the Older Americans Act.
What was the vote?
217 to 214.
Oh, my goodness. Three to spare. Wow.
Yeah.
So then it goes to the Senate?
No, it's done.
Oh, it's done deal.
Because it went from the House, was done to the Senate. Okay. The Senate made changes back to the House, and now the President can sign it. So this should be done today. It's plenty early enough for that final signature.
Now I can pick your brain about the one big beautiful bill. Wasn't that supposed to solve all of this, where it was an actual budget like we used to have back in the day, and we didn't have continuing resolutions?
Well, so, you know, there's two parts. There's a bill with all the legislative structure.
Uh-huh.
And then there's funding appropriations. So this is the appropriations part of it. And, you know, we got 6 of the 12 were done, and then we had these final 6. And so really what held this up was last week, the Senate, the week prior when the House approved and sent over the Senate was on break.
Okay.
So they weren't there to actually start taking up a vote right away. And then last week when the Senate made changes, the House was on break. So they had to get everybody back to D.C. so that they could actually do this.
Wow. And congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
You must have had some lobbying involved or some. That's a bad word, really.
Right.
But some sort of influence. Though.
Yeah, we don't lobby, but we do advocate and educate like crazy. You know, we have a nationwide organization that represents all of the area agencies on aging.
Oh.
And so they're there in D.C. and can do that direct advocacy nonstop. We will go at least once a year, and we will meet with our legislators in our state and our senators to talk about aging and to talk about the Older Americans Act. The next piece that will have to be addressed is that the Older Americans Act is law. And it needs to be reauthorized every so often, and it hasn't happened. So it's actually sitting right now. It's not authorized. It's still going. It still functions.
Yeah.
Unless they wanted to actually stop it and take steps for that. So we do need the Older Americans Act to be reauthorized, and that will be the next piece that we start working on across the nation, no doubt.
What kind of liability does that present that it's not passed? Any at all?
It doesn't, because they're not choosing to try and sunset it.
Okay.
And so there's no legislative effort to end the Older Americans Act.
Right.
And this happens frequently. There are many pieces of legislation that have been put into law that have a funding attached to it that may lapse because they don't get it reauthorized before it ends. In this case, just the work that started on it was almost done the end of 2024, but it was attached to the budget in that CR at that time.
Right.
And so they decided to strip everything out that wasn't just specific to budget. And so that didn't happen. And we were working on it last year, but it was more giving our representatives at the national level time to acclimate and get used to a new administration and how things were going to go. And so now we'll pick back up on that and start working with champions that we have at the federal level that want to see this move forward.
I know at least one caregiver that listens to this show pretty regularly in Kingman. And what kind of responsibilities now do caregivers have for, say, a parent or an aunt or, grandparents and that? And they may not even know that they have insufficient care until somebody finds out, or how does that work? Does somebody blow the whistle on them, or?
Well, I will say lots of times folks are calling us and saying, my mom, my dad, my grandparent, I don't live in the area.
Oh.
But I'm worried about them. I know they have someone coming in and helping a little bit, but I'm worried it's not enough. What can I do? And that's the call to us on our 800 line so that we can have staff reach back out and discuss what exactly is going on so that we have a clear understanding. And then if it's services that we can provide, it's assessing them for that. If it's things that we don't do, it's connecting them and referring them over to resources in the community that could assist them.
Is there a training of some sort that those people that do have private caregivers or family caregivers, and that, is there a training that those people can go through that maybe WACOG or some other agency offers that they can get help in that area?
So we have a caregiver program, and there is education that is involved. There's resources to online education, caregiver support.
Okay.
Offering respite when it's available to give the caregiver a break. So, yes, for that family caregiver, we can support in that we can provide education and information to them to help them through that journey. Mm-hmm. If it goes beyond that where they need more than that, then again, if it's not what we do, we want to try to connect them to folks that can provide that service.
Is that income-based then? Do they have to qualify for that sort of program?
For us, it's not income-based.
Oh, that's good.
It's needs-based. And so that's why the individual does need to be assessed so that we understand what all the needs are.
Right.
And also, if they're still at a place of independency where we can help them, or do they need to actually be looking at some type of assisted living and making that move because, no longer is Mrs. Jones or Mr. Smith
right.
safe living at home.
Is this something, I know you have been with WACOG for a number of years, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many years?
I'm around eight right
Eight
now.
Years now. Mm-hmm. Is this something that's available in other states? Are there WACOGs in other states? Well, obviously it's not WACOG because that's Western Arizona.
Right. So there are area agencies on aging
okay.
across the United
across
States.
Across the U.S., all 50 states.
I think there might be a couple states that actually aren't set up that way.
Right.
Now, but the thing about area agencies on aging is they can and will all be called different titles.
Uh-huh.
And they can be structured differently. So in some states, the person's going to find that actually the Area Agency on Aging is part of the state's health department. It could be under the state unit on aging the way it's structured. So I always tell people, just Google Area Agency on Aging for wherever you're going to go, wherever you live, and you're going to be able to find the reference and then locate where it's housed and what it's called.
Are you under ADHS? Arizona Department of Health Services?
No, we are under DES, DOS, which is Department of Economic Security.
Mm-hmm.
Division of Aging and Adult Services. Wow. So we talked about that Older Americans Act.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to throw some more acronyms. So that is housed under the ACL, the Administration for Community Living, which got moved under HHS with the changes that got made this last year.
So under Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, Health and Human Services.
But it's, we've been combined now into a different department, but so the Older Americans Act funding is housed there. It's dispersed to each state. And the states receive that funding on behalf of the AAAs. I'm going to say AAA now so you know I'm not the car people.
Well, you've said that to me before. Right.
So then locally, DESDAS receives the funds for each AAA. And then that funding is dispersed from DAS to each AAA
wow.
in the state. And then
right.
if there's any additional state funding that goes into the budget,
right.
that also goes to DESDAS and is dispersed to each region, and that is based on our census as to the amount of funding that we receive.
We talked extensively before the show and the reason why you were waiting for this legislation. I was blown away at how little money that it was that comes with the Older Americans Act. Tell our audience, I'll put this in context once you're finished.
So the dollars I was quoting to you was the state level ask. And so this is additional funding that we're asking on top of the Older Americans Act funding.
Right.
So right now this legislative session, we are advocating for $5
million. $5
million. Which is for what's called home and community-based services.
Right.
And then $5 million for the housing assistance program that just got started a couple of years ago that supports our efforts to help reduce the risk of homelessness for our older adults. And so that's a big ask in state dollar mindset. So we're
yeah.
really working this year to educate and advocate up at the Capitol so that our legislators understand, one, there's many categories that includes aging, and lots of times they're confused and they think that they're agreeing to money
right.
for us,
uh-huh.
but it's for somebody else.
Oh.
And so making sure they understand that we're a separate line item in the budget if we're going to get funding, and that $5 million is divided amongst all of the AAAs in the state. That's not $5 million to WACOG.
How many is that?
There's eight AAAs
eight?
In the state.
So
yeah.
five divided by eight different, wow.
Yeah.
To put that in perspective, folks, the second bridge, or some people call it the Freedom Bridge, for the island in Lake Havasu City, $35 million line item in the budget. So, and that was thanks to Leo Biasucci and Sonny Borelli.
Yes. So, and I understand a couple of years ago when there was excess funds, we did receive $5 million for our home and community-based services, which is the first time ever it's been that high.
Wow.
And then last year it was cut back, which is part of our ongoing challenge of educating our legislators that once we have someone under our services, let's say Mrs. Jones needs meals, well, next year Mrs. Jones still needs meals. And so
yeah.
if the funding is cut, we're looking at folks no longer receiving services or wait lists, which is what has happened. There, some of our services are not available. Folks are on a wait list waiting to be able to receive that help because the funding isn't there.
I just looked at the time. We definitely have to take a break, and I want to get to other legislators in Mojave County that you're pretty close with or have had close ties with as far as meeting in Phoenix and that. And I want to get to also there's a Arizona Center for Disability Law. That caught my eye in the pamphlet. And Adult Protective Services is very important.
Yes.
So,
yep.
Back with more in a moment. Again, if you have a question or a concern or a comment, give us a call, 928-854-5687, or text 928-727-5566. Make this talk radio and text radio, not just listen radio. Come on, folks.
But after a while, you're looking the other way. It's those restless hearts that never
have a really, it's like a permanent memory when it comes to this album. I had it on 8-track, and I had it on vinyl also, but I was taking a trip with my mother across the desert. We were going to Calexico, I think it was, for a dog show, or Mexicali.
Mm-hmm.
And this was on, and she loved this album, you know. And she was a Tom T. Hall type of, you know, I mean, she liked old classic country, you know, Buck Owens, Roy Clark, Tom T. Hall, Porter Wagoner, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I was raised on that kind of music. Sal, I had a Hee Haw lunchbox at one time. That's how nerdy I was in first grade. But do you have a memory for, this is your favorite song on the album, though.
Yeah, well, because I've been a vocalist, I always would be intrigued by songs that would be great songs that I know catch you emotionally.
Oh, sure.
And so, I mean, I was a teenager at this time, so yeah, I heard this.
Too.
I heard this song, and, right. and immediately went, "This is a song that will touch everyone." Everybody's been heartbroken.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've had my share, that's for sure. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget, shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. Is there a big shop local movement in Yuma?
Yes, yeah. Every year, at least twice a year. So there's the local shop events that they'll do, and then the push out through the Chamber of Commerce there to shop local. And then there's many business owners that actually will jump on and promote it too.
Yuma's what, the third largest city in Arizona?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Yeah, mine too. I thought it was Prescott and then or Flag, but it's Yuma. The Yuma area is very spread out too. So
yes, it is. Yuma County is actually large.
Right. We call football games down there. Well, it is. It's south. So I wanted to get to the Adult Protective Services. Is that the enforcement arm then of elder abuse?
So really no law enforcement would be.
Oh, okay.
Adult Protective Services can be contacted. You can file a report with them when you do suspect adult abuse, exploitation, neglect, and they can investigate. So they can reach out to that individual, and they can investigate the situation and provide assistance if accepted. Again, we have autonomy as adults, and we can't be forced to do things unless it's a case for guardianship and going to court. But Adult Protective Services will go in, investigate the situation, provide resources, referrals, whatever is under the umbrella that they have are mandated and can do, and then also share the incident with law enforcement if it hasn't already been reported, if they feel that it warrants law enforcement investigation and potential arrest or beyond that, if that's the direction it's going to go.
If somebody's caught for fraud, for example, and it's a big problem in the older community, taking advantage of older adults that mm-hmm. have a savings, obviously life savings, and trying to get to their money in that, are they considered abusers also?
Oh, sure. It's against the law.
Absolutely. No, I mean, I know the fraud is against the law, but does it, you know, is it, because there's something in the pamphlet that says, who are the abusers of older adults?
Right. Unfortunately, commonly, it's family. It also, and look, it's a given that it can be family members, and it can be misdirected, misguided, where they think they have the right to just use mom's money to do some things. They think they're going to protect that loved one by
right.
getting their name on the title. So sometimes it could be starting out as an innocent act and trying to protect. There are others that unfortunately it is deliberate and they are wanting to take advantage of that loved one. Where I find it far worse and more heinous is people that work their way into the person's life and they offer to provide care. They offer to receive a reduced rate of what it would cost for a regular home care company.
Sure.
And they can work their way into that older adult's life where they become very trusted. They could be living in the home. Well, now they can get their name on a checking account, use the person's credit card. Maybe things start missing from the home.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps escalating until they have taken everything that they feel they can get, and then off they go. In some other scams, they will actually work their way into a relationship with the person and try to get married. So they have total access.
Right.
The sweetheart scams on the internet where an older adult is honestly very lonely and looking for companionship can be taken advantage of with those sweetheart scams. And, you know, it starts out with building the relationship. Oh, I'd like to come visit you. I can't afford a plane ticket. And it just keeps building from there until, again, they've taken everything they can from that individual.
Is there catfishing also?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
There's a lot of effort that we put into educating the community about how to protect yourself, looking at, you know, obviously scams are what are most prevalent. That's what we hear about the most. And we're warned constantly with different messaging about frauds and scams. But, you know, it can be far worse. And unfortunately, there's all levels of abuse that take place with an older
right.
adult. And it's heartbreaking. It's hard to talk about. It is a reality. And I probably focus more heavily on the emotional, psychological, physical, and sexual abuse that can happen to older adults because it's such a difficult subject to discuss.
It is.
And I'm willing to talk about that and provide education in the community. I have a colleague down in Yuma County where we provide information sessions, and we will talk about all aspects of elder abuse, the whys, the hows, and who to report to, how to get assistance, because it's critical that folks are empowered and they know what to do, including family members, caregivers that are on the up and up, neighbors, church members. The more we have eyes on people, the more we're aware of their life, the quicker we can see if things are changing and not for the better.
I'm going to take this one right up to the top of the hour, folks. So we're not going to take a break until we actually go to the news, because this is just a fascinating topic, and if somebody wants to call in, they still can. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. And, you know, I would think that it would be kind of easy to dismiss if you're a caregiver. Well, yeah, she has bruises. Her skin is thinner. Or, you know, she claims to be frail, but she's really not. Right? I'm sure you hear it all.
Yes, and if that person has any level of cognitive impairment, that's also who these folks tend to hone in on, because they know that that impairment is going to keep worsening. And it's going to be easier to take. They're going to take advantage of that person more easily. But, you know, there's even telltale signs out in the community. Let's say I always teach bankers and staff at banks this. If you've got Mrs. Jones at your counter and there's someone with her and they're holding on to her, and you can even see, like, maybe the grip gets tighter with certain questions being asked.
Really?
And they try to speak for Mrs. Jones. You know, be aware of that. Know who's with Mrs. Jones. Is that a family member? Is that a paid caregiver that somehow has become at that level part of Mrs.
Right.
Jones' life? You need to be aware of that and be wary of it, because there's a possibility that that person has overtaken that individual and is now really trying to dictate what's going on with the finances.
So this falls under the see something, say something.
Absolutely.
For anybody.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't say everybody's a mandatory reporter, but I think you're an obligatory reporter.
Yeah, the common sense and humanity. Do the right thing. If you see something that looks wrong, look, you've done no harm. We have a hold harmless law in the state of Arizona. So if you file a report without any malice, you are not held in harm for it.
Okay.
So you can report something if you see it. And APS, because the report could be done online electronically, or you can call them to make a report.
Okay, how do people get a hold of you, or, like you said, make a report? They call APS?
Yes, they can call APS if they feel that it's...
Adult Protective Services,
yes.
Not the electric
yes,
company.
Yes, not the electric company. If they feel the person's in any kind of imminent danger,
okay,
they should call local law enforcement.
Very good. Carol, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Folks, she came all the way up from Yuma. I hope you learned something like I did. And join me tomorrow on Speak Out. Thanks so much, Carol.
Thank you.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5 and 106.3. The voice of the free.